So before I get into this episode, I'd like to bring to light something I've been working on. If you're subscribed to my blog, you've probably heard of my Hunter Up initiative. If not, I'll try to sum it up for you. I'm afraid that hunting as we know it can go away, especially with the declining numbers of new hunters each year. I think it's so very important that we take the time and make a true effort to take the bull by the horns and each and every one of us personally introduce one new hunter into hunting. I'm also very unhappy with the hunting community as a whole, and its lack of respect for fellow hunters. We as a community spend a lot of time bashing each other over stupidity instead of promoting one another. The amount of energy that we spend arguing can be spent on more important things like conservation or introducing a kid into hunting. So I'm issuing all of you a challenge to take the time to help fellow hunters, introduce kids, and for God's sakes, stop promoting content that puts hunters in a bad light. Resist the urge to engage in these foolish arguments that we have. Stop the bashing. When you feel strongly about something or you disagree with a hunter, a fellow hunter, take that subject off social media, message that person directly, have a one-on-one debate about it. You're either going to leave understanding where that other person's coming from, or you're going to have said your piece and you move on. We're not all going to agree with the way others do things. And we don't have to. But what we should be doing is supporting all legal hunting because all we're doing is showing weakness and unrest within our community. And this just leaves chinks in the armor that let hunting, anti-hunting groups tear down what you have built, what we've all built. And we need to support hunting and hunters and use our efforts for good, like conservation and hunters education and introducing new hunters instead of wasting our time arguing about who predator hunts, who uses a Matthews and who uses a Hoyt. I mean, the stupid arguments that go on is just, it's okay to have debate, it's okay to have opinion, but really think about what it does when you argue on social media. You got to understand if there's something that's negative out there and you keep pushing it, I can't stress enough, if you don't understand the way Facebook algorithm works or Instagram or any of these, it's you comment on something, oh, you're an idiot for putting that out there. And you commenting on that just pushes that content up the ladder further and further until it gets wider and wider and the net gets larger and larger. And the more people can see it, the more people comment on it, the more people can see it. And eventually it's going to get in front of the eyes of somebody who's an anti-hunter and not just arguing about the hunt. And it's not good for us. So please stop the bashing and get out there and help introduce hunters into hunting. Thanks again. And this episode, you can thank Phoenix Shooting Bags for bringing it to you. And this Hunter Initiative, they're helping me out with it. I appreciate what they're doing. And let's just jump into the next episode. Thank you. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about fitness and how a lot of that parallels how you guys perform out in the field, how it can make you a better hunter and improve your not only your success but improve the way you experience the hunt. Because we've all been out there many times and been sucking wind or whatever, just been super uncomfortable because we just hiked you know, over five ridges or whatever. And, you know, when you're able to do those things with a little less effort, or it's a little easier for them to do it, that the experience is just better, in my opinion. So I have a good friend of mine on, actually, James Fitzgerald, which he was one of the forefathers in the CrossFit movement and the CrossFit games and everything else. So anyway, without further ado, I got James on today. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. It's good to be here.
So give us a little rundown about yourself and what you do.
Yeah. I was a young athlete, and that's all I liked. I hated school, and athleticism was just my identity. And then I got a real rough injury when I was 18, and recognized that I really didn't have anything as a person without sport. So it was a quick wake up to recognize that I probably should have some other things under my belt besides just being able to score some goals in hockey or be the top dog on the soccer pitch, you know. And then in the rehab process, I fell in love with fitness, you know, the interesting thing around weights and conditioning, and started recognize that I was actually in better shape afterwards, after this injury. And so then I want to investigate fitness to the highest level, studied it through academia, and then I've been practicing it for almost 25 years now. And we have a worldwide education system now that coaches around the world. And we coach fitness to the consumer through our gyms. We have OPEX gyms.
Right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the games and how it kind of got started and all that too.
Yeah. Well, I had always loved fitness and different aspects of it. I think it might be parallel to you guys in looking at different tools and different ways of hunting, you know. Mm-hmm. There's different things that come along in every decade, or probably every 5 years, or maybe even more so now, right?
For right,
you guys?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing in fitness, you know. So since the early 90s, I was just, I used to call myself a whore to the fitness scene, you know. I was trying
right.
everything, you know, did everything, basically. Every supplement, every you can think of that I would practice, and then CrossFit came along, and it was like a new style of exercise, you know, a new exercise format. People forget at first it was basically just an exercise program. You know, mm-hmm. you just follow it online and get up every morning and hit whatever was posted as the exercise and you do your day. But then over time it started to become competitive in person, where they put together events. And that first event, I won. And then I competed for a number of years after that, still scoring pretty good overall. And I've just been coaching people within it, you know, ever since. But the sport has grown, you know, tremendously since that point in time, you know. Where, you know, a couple of examples. I won $500 cash out of his pocket for the winnings. And this year I think the winner will get $285,000.
Crazy.
And, you know, there was probably maybe a couple hundred people that participated, you know, the first couple of years in live events, not just at the games. And now this year they have like 500,000 people that participate in the open before they even get to the bigger competitions, you know. So it's big.
Unreal. It's grown.
It's a new sport. Birth of a sport over 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Really. So it's a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say like 4 years ago, maybe five tops, but about 4 years ago I started seeing like – gym after gym after gym after gym after gym just opening everywhere. Everybody was like the 408, the 602, the this, the that, the Fury. Like everybody had this new like CrossFit. And I got into it a little bit. I you know, just to me, I'm the type of person I believe in shocking your system. So doing a lot of different stuff and not just the same type of routine all the time, you know, just go and crush weights or go and do cardio or whatever. So I kind of like to mix it up as much as I possibly can. One, for, you know, just so you don't get bored and stuck in the same rut. But two, I think your body benefits from that, you know, after a while, just kind of being exposed to different things and with different movements and whatnot. So,
no, there's definitely some benefit to variation for sure.
Cool. So what's your thoughts? What's your viewpoint on like sports specific training?
Well, there really is no such thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't train for hunting with a bow, an arrow, by mimicking something with cables.
Right.
And then if you try to find the in-between on that, actually white paper research and evidence would show you there's hardly no carryover from, you know, what can be sport specific. So what is sport specific training for soccer?
Uh-huh.
It's playing with Man United in Old Trafford. That's what sport specific training is.
Right.
You know, and it's not, you know, kicking the ball in the street with your buddies either, you know, because that's not sport specific. That's, you know, play. Those are skills of the sport. So in terms of the language, that's where I start on it, is there's nothing really sport specific besides doing the sport. Now, are there things that folks can do that enhance their efficiency and ability and, you know, overall physical wellness? For sure. There's lots of things. And, you know, the difference between ice hockey and hunting would make that apparent. You know,
right.
they're different programs, different humans, different levels. So you can't give both of those people the exact same program either. That's going to benefit them for what they want to do, you know, if that's their highest values. So that's where I sit on sport specificity. It's actually not a thing. Ironically, you know, one sport that it is such a thing is our sport, which is
right.
Yeah. Because our sport is exercise.
Yeah.
So we exercise to become the best exercisers. So it's probably the only true sport specific training out there, if that makes
Got
sense.
Got it. No, I get it. I guess I never looked at it that way. See, because I've always been a follower of training to the sport, and I guess maybe the
training to prepare you maybe for the sport.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, the lines get blurred a little bit.
Yeah. So, I'll give you an example. Like there was research done on these incline, you know, hockey skating things, you know, people get their skates on and get on this, like, I'm sure it was like a Teflon treadmill for hockey players.
Okay. Yeah.
They get to like mimic pushing out, you know, and, you know, sprint work and whatever. And they showed it carried over to a decrease actually in potential for power, you know, contact time, and a bunch of other things. So it's, you know, you can even make it look like the sport, but you're not going to get better at the performance indicators of the sport.
Right.
And ironically, it could probably make sense to be like how you guys would get all messed up if, you know, for a couple hours a day, you just did this, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know, you can imagine getting out in the field. You're like, oh my God, now my shoulder is fucked and I can't even shoot. So,
right.
You know, you see that sport specificity won't carry over if you overuse it, you know, the movement. So,
no, yeah, I agree with you.
And your lifestyle is very interesting. It's almost like, you know, wrestling or primal. It's very primal, where, you know, I call it an open system. So you don't plan to go out and know what you need to climb and what you need to look around and how far you need to crouch down. And like, you don't, like we plan it out. It's right. Here's your task. Yeah. Strategize, plan it out. It's almost like MMA, right? You don't plan, you know, you got to be prepared for whatever comes in front of you. Mm-hmm. So that's something to think about too, is like, how do you actually train for something that's called an open system? You have no right. idea what's coming. So you can't train for it. The only exactly. thing you can do is bring up your basic level of resilience, you know?
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, we can discuss specifically, because I might be able to, you know, create some ideas for hunting because I'm not in your ecosystem. And sometimes that's good to hear from people who are not in the ecosystem and doing it all the time. So I won't create any biases of what I believe would be effective for you guys, you know?
Right, right. I know one of the approaches that I've done, I've tried to do things that kind of mimic or whatever, in the past, you know, mimic movements or whatever. It's mostly like the hiking stuff. Just, like one of the things I do now is I do a lot of stairwells, and obviously walking upstairs is nothing in comparison to climbing up, because even your foot angle is different. I mean, it's not a ramp, and it's not an uneven surface and whatever. And one of the things I used to do, or I still do rather, when I do stairwells, is I change up, like I, you know, climb multiple steps, or I'll take bigger steps or take shorter steps. And when I come down as slow as possible, and I hit just the edges, and I do stuff like that. Yeah. But I know it's not exactly the same, because you don't have the proprioception. You don't have to deal with the balance issues that you do.
It's like a hockey player doing lunges, right?
Right.
There's similar contractions and styles, but it's not skating, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's always going to benefit for you.
Yeah, it's a benefit, but it's not, you have to get out and do it, like you said.
You got it.
Yeah. Pulling on a therapy band or whatever to make your shot. It's not pulling your bow. It's different, completely different. But going back in my physical therapy side, I do a lot of that stuff too. Like, mostly train those little muscles or whatever that stabilize or whatever, so that I avoid injury, you know. But I don't use it as, oh, okay, I'm gonna keep pulling on this band so I can, you know, shoot a heavier compound bow or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I would assume most of your injuries are going to come from non-contact, right? They're probably going to be overuse in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not entirely true, because most of my injuries that I've ever received in the sport are from falling.
Okay. That's just stupidity then, right?
Yeah, pretty much. No, I mean,
there's obviously unknown situations that can result in that, but I think a big thing for you guys to focus on is that, and from an outside looking in, take this the right way, the lifestyle doesn't seem to be as imperative to how important I believe mental acuity is for your sport and for what you do. It's very primal, meaning that, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, you know, you didn't probably have the technology you do have to go and get food.
Oh, definitely not.
And so, what was required for that is no different of a human. People think we're different humans than we were a couple thousand years ago, but it still took us 9 months to bear a child. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of big difference in humans since then. So what was the difference, though, is that we were far more fit in order to hunt and gather and live, because that's what we had to do. So one of the interesting things around with an increase in technology within your sport is that possibly there's a loss of the importance of mental acuity and how important lifestyle is. Mm-hmm. Like for you guys to be able to sustain for days, you know, on minimal food and small sleep and long gains of distance over land with moderate loads. I mean, you got to be fit as shit for that kind of stuff. And you know, an ATV and a helicopter ride somewhere and a couple of hours in and a bunch of Coke and Red Bull to get you mentally acute, that's just going to result over time in disaster. Or you're only going to be able to do it a couple times a year or last for a few years before you're over fat and looking for a bigger ATV to get you to your spot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean,
I don't know if that's prevalent, but you know, you kind of, the way you talk and the kind of conversations you and I have had around food inflammation and lifestyle pieces and exercise, like that's a really key ingredient, I think, for you being able to sustain emotions, right? And behaviors and Shackleton style, you know, just in to be able to endure for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Just because you're eating the right foods and managing your blood sugar and you know what you need to do.
Right. I mean, I try to stay on top of that stuff, and one, because I want to be able to do this for as long as I possibly can, and two, just because I want to live a long, healthy life as best I possibly, you know. So it's like, you know,
it's a great attitude, but you can understand what I mean. Like, it's very easy to fast track your system. It's like Everest.
Yeah.
People can pay, you know, $50,000, $80,000 now and get to Everest.
Right.
You know, half of them die, but at least they can pay for it. It's probably not unlike that in hunting, where you get people to go for a hunt, but they're out of shape and they have no business being out there, you know?
Right. Yeah. No. And we get that. We get that, especially
that's just reality
on the guiding side. And, you know, there's, There's, like you said, there's always a way to circumvent hard work. But yeah.
Well, indirectly, I don't know much about it, but indirectly with the bow, you know, you do change things quite a bit, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes you see within fitness? Like,
it's lack of alignment.
Okay.
It's people thinking they can get shit done in 2 months because the market tells them and media tells them all the time. So we call it fantasy land. That's back mm-hmm. backroom talk, but everyone thinks, number one, they deserve to get fit in 2 months. And everyone thinks because Google can give them an answer to what's the altitude of a place in Iran in like 3 seconds, they can also get fitness in 2 seconds.
Got it.
So it's a cultural feel. So the issue really, the biggest issue is alignment. And then because of that, folks think they can just put it off. So they're just like, I'll wait for the summer, you know, and then do a couple of weeks or do a cleanse or whatever. And, you know, mm-hmm. shit, you know, 20 times in 4 days and think they're in better shape. and then lose 5 pounds. I'll just keep, and then they wait 5 months. And so secondly, it's inconsistency. You know, that's the biggest issue. So when I talk about programs, because I'm old enough now, honestly, John, I really don't give a shit what people think. I don't baby it anymore.
Right.
What should I do for my exercise? Like the gentleman I was talking to last night at soccer.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, whatever you're going to be doing every second day for the next 5 years. And he was like, what is that? I was like, well, it's all about your concept of what you think fitness is. So if you think fitness helps support you to hunt or be a dentist or do what you want to do, then it's not like you're just going to, it's not like a bank, you know, you just bank
yeah.
it and pull it out and bank it and pull it out. No, that shit comes back to haunt you at a very fast rate past 35, 40 years of age.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's the biggest issue. Lack of alignment because of the fast track model. And number two, people just not being patient and being consistent with it. You know,
right.
Like even his question was, what's I forget what his language was that he used, but it's like, what's the an intense, robust method of fitness I could do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, your question right away just shows you that your education needs to be increased, you're looking to fast track it. And so I gave him a parallel of like, that's like me coming in, you know, to your dentist office and saying, yeah, I want these crowns done and these wisdom teeth pulled. I want no pain and I want to leave here in an hour and a half. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's a joke. That would never happen. I was like, yeah, exactly. That's how I answer people in fitness.
Exactly.
But they expect to get it. So that's the issues.
Yeah. No, I think you get that a lot with, and it's just a societal thing right now, I guess, with everything. It's a very millennial way of thinking. I mean, humans are always looking for shortcuts. I mean,
oh yeah.
It's inside since we're kids.
Yeah.
But it's more so now than anything. Cause like I see it with bow hunting, you know, like there's guys that are, you know, ask me, you know, how do I get from here to here? You know, and they think from starting point to end point or starting point to where I'm at, let's say, is, oh, you know, I'll just go take lessons and whatever, and I'll be an amazing archer and yada, yada, yada. And even more so, like, a guy gets weights and weights and weights. He doesn't ever practice shooting his bow, and then he gets drawn for elk. You know, he waited 10 years to get drawn for elk, and now he takes his bow to the bow shop and, can you set me up and start shooting now? Like it,
mm-hmm.
And then they wonder why they eat a tag, you know? And it happens all the time, and I see it, like, on the regular, you know? And I'm like, this is not something... I hate talking like this because I feel like it makes me look like I'm conceited, but like I tell people, I'm like, it is, if you think I'm good and you want to emulate me, then you need to understand what I put into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not, you know, and there's guys that are freaking miles and miles ahead of me. Like, you know, it's just, and they put in that much more. They live it and breathe it every single day. Just like you do with your fitness. I mean, and it's all the moving parts that go into it. I wrote a book several years ago. Shit. It's like at least 10 years, maybe 12 years ago, and I wrote this. I had this one chapter was the 20 hunting essentials, like the 20 different little pieces of the puzzle, you know, and mm-hmm. and I condensed it to 20 because in my head there was a lot more, you know, and like I put it out as an article at one point, and I got a lot of feedback from them, like, man, there's a lot of different, like, you know, angles that you're looking at this. It's not just go out, set up a trail camera, find a deer, shoot a deer. It's not like it was, you know, and I try to show them that it was, you know, this.
The intricacies.
Yeah. And I think that if people want to take anything serious in their life and they want to be good at anything, you have to look at it like that. It has to become.
Yeah. Well, we offer something similar to what you just said in different language. We just call it the truth, which is assessment. So if someone comes in, they have a lack of alignment, right? They want to get, like you said, from there to there very quickly. Then mm-hmm. we just go, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you bring them out and they're like, oh my God, was that a sheep? You know, it's like,
yeah.
Dude, you know, can you see now that you've got like 7 years of practice out of you? So right. if they didn't even get it at that one moment, you know, wait 8 hours, you know, when it's 1 a.m. in the morning and you're like, shut the fuck up. You got to be quiet. We got to move, you know, and they're like, what, you know? So then they just start, that's called the truth. We call that assessment. Yeah. So in physical fitness, someone comes in, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be that champ in 6 months. Like, okay, great. That's very admirable. Let's go over here and do a couple of push-ups, and they can't do one. So then you get down next to them and be like, so how's that going for you? You know? Right. So because the champ can do 75 in a row on a metronome. So, you think you got a bit of time in there. So, you know, the assessment is the truth. That's why we abide by that as our primary piece inside of our gyms, which is probably likewise what you're doing indirectly too, and getting people into the fold. And then all of a sudden they just recognize where they sit, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, from a mindset standpoint, I mean, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but what is, in your head, what's the keys to success to adopting, you know, a fitness lifestyle that, I think
it's one that's going to be, it's already answered it, but it's one that's going to work forever, you know? So within, like I was thinking about it this morning when I was exercising, cause I wanted to answer this question effectively, is that, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you want to first of all, think about like what physical literacy is and what fitness is. And when it comes down to the brass tacks, there's no fucking reason for us to exercise, you know, and it's
right.
And even coming from a fitness professional, right? It's like, did he just say that? It's like, yeah, like really think about why you need to go in and do bicep curls and run on a treadmill. Like how the fuck is that close to living a life? Like it's got nothing to do with how we live our lives.
Right.
Getting out of a car, taking a shit, going up and down stairs, picking up your child. Like, you know, it's not that fucking hard, right? Sitting in a cubicle for 8 hours, being in front of a TV, sitting on a couch, you know, throwing a football with your child. That's not that hard. So you got to say to yourself, like, start with there. Like, why are we doing exercise whatsoever? So if we plan on doing it and there's some structure to it, if that's supposedly with a good lifestyle, we probably want to do shit that's fun.
Right.
Right? So with your comment is like, you know, what should I do for fitness? Whatever the fuck you enjoy. Like, if I can find a method of your fitness that you enjoy, then that's exactly what we're going to choose. Because, you know, and then if you're disease, toxic, out of shape, over fat, lazy, obese because of your own responsibility, etc., then you got some work to do. I don't give a shit if you don't enjoy it or not. Like, you're in a shitty spot and you need to, like, be patient and learn how to get out of that dump. And then you can start enjoying stuff. So don't complain to me if it's not fun right now. You got yourself into that position. So what should be the mindset for people, you know, and staying consistent? Find shit that you enjoy doing, you know?
Right.
Like I told that guy last night, I was like, do you do calisthenics? You know, I asked him to squat down next to me to see what it looks like. He's like, yeah, I can squat down. I was like, can you do a good push-up? He's like, I haven't done some in years, but, you know, I might be able to try. I was like, start there. You know, do a couple of squats and some push-ups. And mm-hmm. walk every couple of days. He's like, yeah, I would enjoy that. It's like, that's probably what you should do forever, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and don't stop doing it ever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So whatever he's going to enjoy, that's what people need to do. And I think you enjoy variety personally, right? But mm-hmm. some people like linear stuff. You know, they like just going to the gym every day and doing the same stuff and just moving. And that's good too. You know, that's healthy. And walking their dog and doing some step ups in their backyard. I mean, that's fine, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the keys that I noticed for myself and for people that I've helped, it's always like developing achievable goals that, you know, that can keep you and like you said, finding something fun, something that kind of like motivates you and drives you, so it doesn't feel like work, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because that's, you know, that's going to keep you involved, right? We have a system of teaching people that they have a goal to choose, which is way up here. But we just say to them, but you don't look at the goal. You've got to look at where you currently sit.
Mm-hmm.
So we investigate your current place in an assessment and where your starting point is. And then we help you develop these resources that are required to work towards that goal. And then the recipe that's involved in order to make it happen. And then in most case, you know, people see that they got a little bit of work ahead of them and they get inspired by that. You know, they get excited about the journey, which is why we call fitness a journey. It's not an answer. It's a journey.
Right. Because yeah, it's not something you're going to be doing. It's a lifelong journey. You know, it's not something you're going to do from now to there's no end, you know, no end to it. If you want it to be, you know, part of your life.
Well, arguably, even if you do or you do not, see, that's a whole different conversation, you know, and my belief would be if you don't make it a part of your life, then you will suffer the consequences.
Right.
Because we are more intelligently designed humans now. We're not just, it's not based upon survival and reproduction.
No.
You know, we're not running away from animals or killing animals to get our own food. You know, you and I can hop in our vehicle in 15 minutes, get the most luscious steak at Whole Foods, you know.
Right.
And that's different, dude. It's different.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because there was things involved in, that's why I just love the aspect, I don't mean to go in a rabbit hole on it, but I do love the aspect from an outside looking into the primal aspect of hunting, because, you know, I would guarantee, you guys could probably talk about it or you may not even recognize it, but the food tastes different when you chase it down for hours, you're gassed, you kill it, you cut it open, you heat that shit up and eat it. Like, I'm telling you, food tastes different. And it's probably even better digested. It probably lasts longer. The micronutrients are probably more affected into your system. Like there's a deep connection to that we don't have anymore, right? We sit in our car, we drive, we get this piece of meat that was just given to us, right? I didn't work at all to get that meat,
right?
And so you got to think about that, like how well will I absorb it? How well will I use the nutrients, et cetera, et cetera? So there's very, you know, it's very admirable as to what you guys do on a primal setting. You know, it's almost like pugilism in defense, right, of your family or your culture or your community. Hunting is that. So it's a...
Yeah. No, we talk about it quite often. It's actually a very prevalent topic within the community. And a lot of times it's used as a tool to help non-hunters understand...
Yeah,
you know, one of the reasons.
Yeah,
one of the reasons why we enjoy doing what we do.
Yeah,
you know, and I think all the responsible hunters out there really work hard to show that it's not just going out there to kill an animal.
Yeah,
and so you know, a big part of that's the food.
Yeah,
you know, so But yeah, no, it's a huge difference. I know a couple of guys that only eat wild game. Like that's, they hunt for their food. They're not for all their food, obviously. They still go buy groceries, but as far as their meat is concerned, their protein is concerned, it's all stuff that they've shot themselves.
Yeah.
And I respect that. My reservation on that is I like chicken too much. I like cow too much. I like beef too much. And I don't know that I would just eat. And I don't get me wrong. I love venison and I love other game meat, but, there's something to be said about a nice beef ribeye, you know, that I just love. So and plus it's a little hard too. Cause I think when you're in that, your whole family needs to be on board.
Yeah.
You know,
we had like, yeah, growing up, we had a good variation in Labrador. It was ptarmigan, trout, caribou, and moose. And it was a great variety that you actually could like hunt year round and have a shit ton of stuff available for you to make variations of it. I agree with you though, but ironically, the chicken or imported stuff that we got come up the road, which is like 13-hour drive in this piece of shit truck because we're way up in no man's land. I mean, the meat was just horrible. So I actually missed that. So the story of that gentleman is pretty cool. But I get you. You know, nori sushi is something I do like.
Yeah, exactly. I it's tough 'cause I'm quite the foodie. I'm really big on that's my downfall. That's my downfall in fitness, really. But it makes me happy. So, you know, I got to look at it like that. My mental health
Just chew
is
slower.
yeah. I eat a lot of everything and
Don't
I
engulf it, just chew it slower, and then you can eat all different kinds of things, but you'll enjoy it.
No. So, you brought up a little while ago, you said the word cleanse and my butt puckered.
You just shit in your pants, actually.
James put me on a cleanse. He already recommended a cleanse for me, I should
Yeah,
say, put me
let's
on.
reword that.
I
A
was
recommended
talking to him
cleanse.
about it.
Nice passive aggressive comment there to put it on me. James
I was
put me on a
asking him a
cleanse.
question about, you know, what cleanses do you do? Because I was thinking about doing one, you know. I like to do a little spring cleaning every once in a
Yeah,
while.
for some, for especially, I'm just gonna make an assumption that, you guys are probably not out hunting for blueberries. You're not out. You're not out looking for soy animals. So the overabundance of meat relative to our required day-to-day function in most times is a little too high. Like just to be honest, like we probably eat way too much protein that we actually need to. If you look at old data on Paleolithic diets and way back, we could survive long periods of time on very smaller amounts of protein. Our digestive system is actually not set up to take on 250 grams of meat during the day. It doesn't mean it's going to result in increased, decreased health or et cetera, but so what I'd recommend for a lot of people, just as we just call it like a reboot, is maybe just removing, meats for 3 or 4 days. So we call it, that's the first phase. We'd call it like a protein deload. And the reason why we choose that is that you could still have soups and vegetables and a little bit of, dark berries, some kinds of chia seeds, flax seeds, and garnishes and stuff like that, but just want no meat, no protein for a couple of days. And just what that does allows your gut to take a little bit of a breather. Your enzymes get a little bit of a breather for it. You can get rid of a lot of that just metabolites that are in your body, possibly from your exercise plus your protein. So that's generally what we recommend once a month for a lot of our clients. It's just for 3 days. It's pretty simple. It's called protein deloading. And then if folks like to basically just clean stuff up a couple times a year, generally spring and fall is the best time to do it. You want to do an extended fast. And I'm not hesitant on recommending this. Most people who are sick and toxic and on 18 different medications, then you probably shouldn't even be listening to this anyways. But if folks are like, yeah, I just like a little breather every now and then, we recommend something a little bit more robust, which is what you did. It's called a Nira cleanse. And it's a traditional old model of a master cleanse. You don't do it to lose weight, right? You don't do it to, to gain vitality or to lose acne or to, increase your penis size. It's going to have nothing to do with that. You're basically doing it just to give your body a break. That's it. And if you view it that way, then you start to see the benefits of it, where you just let go of food, you give your digestive system a little bit of a breather, and you go through that a couple times a year and good to go. And we use what's called the Neera cleanse, NEERA. It's basically just Bedal Mall syrup and water and cayenne and some supporting pieces to basically help people have enough sugar just to survive mentally for a couple of days.
I did it for 3 days. It was it wasn't that bad. The first day I was super hungry. Second day was a breeze. Third day started off good, but by the end of the third day, I was having a really hard time. And then
Probably
I
knew.
went back to eating on the fourth day. I was an emotional wreck for 2 days. I was angry. I was very irritable. But then afterwards, like after that period was done, I felt good. I felt really good. Things were, you know.
So if we were just
sleeping better again.
Yeah, if we were just to investigate your specific situation, a lot of times when that happens, some of the foodstuffs that you're bringing in on the first couple of days, that's probably an indication that some of them are a little bit inflammatory too for you.
Probably. Everything's inflammatory for me. I swear to God. Every time I go do a food sensitivity test, it's like...
Except for venison.
Actually, right now, venison's on there. Believe it or not. I was very upset to see that.
Too much of it, I guess.
I've done the Alcat test a few times.
Okay.
And then the last... I don't remember what the last one was called that I did. It was a different one. And it's like, it's always the things that you're eating frequently that end up being like, and that's the problem with that is you'll get this list of items you have to stay away from. So you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to start eating this, and that. And then the very next time you go and do that test, those items are on it. It's like,
yeah, but that's what's supposed to show up. Cause that's what the test does, right? The MRT is a mediated response, which is a better test. But, the immunoglobulins are a little bit different. They're like an acute inflammation sign. So what you should just get from those tests and learn is you just got to fucking bury your food.
Yeah.
You got to get a broad array of stuff. And instead of like just pulling everything out and then eating too much of another thing and go back and retesting and seeing all that shit inflammatory, then go back to the, just like, vary your proteins all week, right? Change your vegetables up all the time. Eat different seeds and nuts all the time. Eat dark berries, and vary as much as possible. And then if that makes up most of your food, like 80-90%, you're laughing.
Yep.
So shit shows up on your list. That's not a big deal, really.
Right. Yeah. I've tried to live that way anyway. Variety is the spice of life. But when it comes to eating, you get into this rut, you find things that you like and you're like, oh, this is good for me. It doesn't bother me. And you get in this constant and then it ends up being, so it's bothering you.
Yeah. It's just that food becomes unconscious, but you got to make it conscious, right? You got to make your exercise conscious. You got to make your food choices conscious. And people are berated and made fun of because they take that seriously. And so that's another big issue in our society is that for people to have discipline around exercise and eating well, they're made fun of or they're picked on or they're, shamed, right? And they're not allowed to talk about it or so that's another big problem is people trying to increase their consciousness on eating and they're being shamed based upon it. Even kids in our school, like our kids in school, they bring in something that looks nutritious and it's gonna be a couple of Snickers, from people. Yeah. I mean laughter, not Snickers bars.
Yeah, no, I get you. I had that problem with my girls all the time. Like, I want to send them with something. Like, they won't take things to school that they'll eat at home because they're afraid they're going to get made fun of.
Just think about that.
And I think about it back when I was a kid. My parents are from Italy, they were immigrants. So I went to school with, like, Meatball Hero. I went to school with, like, I remember getting made fun of because back before anybody knew what Nutella was, my mom used to make me a Nutella sandwich and be like, and just like stuff like that. I mean, obviously that's not really a healthy meal, but I remember getting made fun of a little bit, especially when I moved out. And I was already, I was already in high school when I came out to Arizona. Like,
now you're showing all your reasons for your problems today with food. You're just rehabbing yourself now on your own show.
Yep, I am.
It all comes level now eating whatever you want because you couldn't have that when you were a kid.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I know. It's just it's crazy that we do that to each other in society. Just so much.
Yep.
So much of that goes around. So tell us, tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and what you do.
Yeah, over the next number of years, they may just see the word OPEX, coming up more frequently in gyms. around the globe. We're growing continuously and building those gyms out. Inside those gyms, it's called personalized fitness. So you pay for year, 2 year, 3 year contracts to be in there, and you basically, it's a place where you're going to do your exercise. But you're given a personalized program, and you come in and exercise on your own. You're guided by a coach who's there in the gym with other people who are members, but it's not personal training and it's not group. And so it's a unique, you know, form of fitness that we think is going to last a while because it teaches the client to be self-responsible. So we believe, you know, you'll see OPEX in that word in gyms over time. OPEXFit.com is our website, and we have lots of, you know, free information on there. People are just meandering, and I'm on Instagram at JFitsOPEX. I'm always sharing things on there.
Awesome. Oh, and thank you for coming on and
yeah, of course.
Setting this all straight.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe another time we could dig in a little bit more deeper on some of the fundamental training pieces people can think about for preparation. So, because I've the only difference, I would assume, not only difference, that's unfair to say, but I've trained ultramarathoners, alpinists, rock climbers, and triathletes. And there's a lot of stuff within their training that's somewhat similar to some things you guys can consider for mental acuity and fueling and preparation and volume and stuff like that, that maybe another time we can get on.
Well, honestly, I mean, if you got a few more minutes, we could talk about some of that.
It'll probably be a little bit more robust, so let's do it another time.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, absolutely.
We could dedicate the whole time to it, and I can lay out like some concepts of where you do it for training and how you can practice it and what you can do in the gym and maybe get a little bit more nitty-gritty on that.
Oh, yeah, perfect. That'd be great.
Okay.
Cool. Well, man, thanks for coming on, and I'm sure I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, actually, yeah. You won't. I'm going to Manchester tonight.
Oh, are you? Nice.
Yeah, UK. I'm going to teach over there till Monday, so I'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy.
Later.